when you do things in an outstanding way. You know, here's one of the quotes we looked at. The extent of your impact on the world depends on the size of your devotion to excellence. The world doesn't want mediocre stuff, even though it produces a lot of mediocre stuff. And nor does the church, nor the kingdom of God. How much more so should the kingdom of God be and have excellence if God is a God of excellence? Amen? So Bezalel and Aholiab were raised up to do the work. And before Moses even asked for an offering to build the tent of meeting, God had filled Bezalel and Aholiab with the spirit of wisdom. And God then commissioned them for the work. Before God can release resources, I want to say this very emphatically, before God can release resources to you, he prepares you with an excellent spirit in order to handle his resources. There are people that get, you know, a lot of resources other ways and tend to squander, mess up, misuse, abuse. See, God has no problem with releasing resources to those who have first allowed him to prepare their heart. If your heart is prepared, and that's why I say when you start finding yourself doing things with excellence and living in an excellent way before God and not just before people, get ready. Something's coming your way. God has something coming your way that's of God. And it says in Habakkuk 1 and 5, if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. But he's positioned you in a way of excellence, okay? So the secret of joy, this is a quote from Pearl Buck. The secret of joy in work is contained in one word, excellence. To know how to do something well is to enjoy it. You know, you have to be a special type of person to be a trainer. Because you get people in the raw. They don't know how to do this. Yeah, they're doing it all wrong. So you got to train them. I said you get a special anointing to train. But you know, like in a sport, when you're with people that know how to play that sport and everybody's playing that sport together, and it's fun. You get with people that don't know how to play the sport. You don't know what they're doing. Mess it up, turning the ball over. Okay, you get frustrated. Right? Okay, so the secret of joy in work is contained in the word excellence. There's joy when you can do things. Think about it. There's joy when you do things well, when you hit the target, when you know this is right. This is right? There's joy in that. To know how to do something well is to enjoy it. So that means that we have to become skillful in what we do. We need to be knowledgeable about our career, our the course that we're on, we need to have knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need to be informed about things in our craft. And work on improving and extending and expanding, enriching it with more knowledge. Why? Because to know how to do something well is to enjoy it. And God would have us to enjoy life, not just struggle in life. Okay, so now we're going to take a look into the concept of the pursuit of excellence. Philippians chapter 4. And if you will get me verse number 8, the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. First of all, attaining excellence isn't an accident. You ain't gonna accidentally start doing stuff excellent or with excellence. No, it ain't no accident. Okay, so let's look at Philippians 4, 8, what Philippians 4, 8 says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Look at somebody, tell them, think on these things. You know, the pursuit of excellence, let me start here. It has to be deliberate. Amen. Amen. You have to determine what's going into your mind, what's going to remain in your mind, and what ain't coming into your mind. Amen. Yeah, it looked like this, but I ain't thinking like that. Amen. Unless God shows me and reveals it completely, I don't want that in my mind. That's not occupying my space. I don't want that thought. Why? The word says, finally, my brethren, think on these things. First of all, I'm not dumb. I'm not illiterate. I'm not blind. We see. If you can catch this, when you think like this in Philippians 4 and 8, that's when you really see. If you're very, you know, always trying to read between the lines. You know, the way they said that, it was something about it. I don't know. Just didn't feel right. You always, when you think on these things, what sort of things are true, what you know to be true, pure, of good report, virtue, praiseworthy, all these things, when you occupy your mind with that, you're taking on the mind of Christ. See, everything about God is excellent. Jesus didn't think evil, but nothing escaped him. He discerned everything. He never thought evil, but he could see everything. See, this is what we need to understand, because the enemy would like to show you pictures sometimes or put you in environments to try to get you thinking on that frequency. Then he can trip you up. Then he can mess you up. Then he can mess up relationships. Well, why she say it like that? You know, mouth going on. I don't like the way he said that. Yeah, the enemy trying to pull you into a place you don't belong. Again, we are not dummies. We are not being led blindly. We just know the territories. Enemy always wants to get you on his turf. There he can deceive you. There he can harm you. There he can shoot fiery darts at you. But if he can't get you on his territory, he can't come on your territory. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but he hath nothing in me. There's a detour. He got to go the other way. See, your thinking, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your thinking is your gatekeeper. We are not ignorant. You know, God will show you when something's going on for you to pray about, not for you to get into an argument about, not for you to try to solve something in the flesh, because we're in the pursuit of excellence. I'm not in the pursuit of fighting the devil. Jesus already defeated him. One time, forever. Tell somebody it's a finished work. Now I got to get my mind right. My spirit is saved. My soul is being saved. And one day when Jesus comes, my body's going to be changed. Let me tell you something about this. See, everything that works for our good that Jesus does is working against your enemy. Let me show you something real quick. One day we'll study this. But when Jesus returns for the church at that day of rapture, he's going to enter into this atmosphere. Now, you remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was Peter, James, and John. Jesus was transfigured. And it says that he shone brighter than the day. I don't know if you can wrap your mind around that. It was daytime. Bright outside, probably not a cloud in the sky. But when Jesus unveiled his glory, that light was brighter. There was a different type of light than the sun. It was a glory, a kavod. Now with the sun and with Jesus as well, there's a type of light. Science will tell you this. There's a type of light that certain rays from it are healthy and certain rays from it are destructive. Yes. When Jesus returns, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and that's not even talking about that. It's not talking about just, you know, twinkle eye. We out. Out. Well, you know, it's not, we'll talk about this another time, but it's not referring necessarily to just, you know, you bat your eye, everybody gone. It's talking about something else. But the light, when he comes into this atmosphere, now think about this a moment. It's going to be worldwide. The earth is going to be engulfed with his light. To the church, it's going to be deliverance. But to his enemies, he's going to destroy them with the brightness of his coming. So his brightness coming into this atmosphere is going to destroy everything that's not like him, but it's going to take the saints up. See, so everything good that God does for others is working against your enemies. That's what we need to understand about it. You know, that's why he says no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. When he comes, his enemies are going to be just consumed just with the brightness. Ain't going to be no swords drawn and people fighting and pushing and, you know, shoving and No, with the brightness. Like a nuclear bomb. Just the moment he enters the atmosphere. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up, changed. Isn't that wonderful? I said, isn't that wonderful? If all we have is hope in this life, we are of all people most miserable. Sometimes you need to think about that one day. So attaining excellence isn't an accident. We must at times summon all our faculties in the planning stage. Now, I want to show you something here very important about excellence, because excellence is not achieved necessarily when you get hands-on and when you get involved in the work. Excellence is established in the planning stages. I'll say that again. True excellence is not, you know, a lot of people get started and stuff and then they want to do it a little better. They want to, you know, upgrade and that. That's okay. But true excellence is started before you start. In other words, you envision it. You're looking at it a certain way. You see it a certain way. And see, what happens with people, sometimes they envision things, but they let people talk them down. Child, you know you can't afford that. What you gonna do with all them rooms? None of your business.
Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036. For updates on ministries and other events, visit our website at www.trbanks.com. And remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.